right there. So right before we move into to Javier's part of the presentation, I'm getting ready to switch it over. These are some of the things that should be in your bond packet. You know, you have to have identity documents. You have to have some letters of reference, or we call them letters of good moral character. Evidence of community participation, if there's any issues with health conditions for children or family, this is where you want to put it in, because you are trying to prove that this person merits a bond, that they will show up. They're not a danger to the community. You want to put a face behind that face, that you want to put a face behind that name, and that person is probably in a detention facility on a small screen wearing, you know, orange, or we have one facility where they put all the detainees in yellow. They literally look like minions. It's awful. And I think they do that on purpose. I mean, I think there is something to the idea of how, you know, how the detainees are dressed, maybe because they were on sale and that's why they picked yellow. I don't know. But it's very, very hard to distinguish one from the other. And so your job as the representative is to make sure that you're painting a picture of who this family is and why this person deserves, number one, to be out on bond, and ultimately that they merit discretion in the ultimate outcome of the case, whether that be cancellation of removal or a waiver or adjustment or asylum. So you want to make sure that you put your best foot forward in your bond submissions, and you have the information. Don't hide the ball with your bond submission. If you know what your client's past record is, disclose it. And the last thing that I will say is we have a standard form, a bond redetermination form, that must be used in immigration court. And I don't know if all courts have it. I'm assuming it's everywhere, that's how you move for a bond hearing. Do you all have that form?
We have that form, but some judges will also take a motion for bond, as long as it's got all that information in it.
Okay. So our judges in Dallas will not, and the clerks, they have been very well trained. They will not do a bond hearing without that document officially filed with the court. So that you can file a motion and then they'll call your office and say, you need to file the bond redetermination form. And so we have to file that with the court locally. And with that, I know there's more slides, but I think we're going to cover all the information in those slides through Javier's presentation. So Jack, you can switch over to his PowerPoint, and then I will hand it over to you, Javier, to talk about anatomy of a removal proceeding.
Will do. And I'll just point out one last thing while we're still here on the essentials for bond submissions. You have to keep apprised of sort of what's happening around the country. And going back to Michelle's examples of a 30,000 bond, we should begin to consider as one of the essential things for bond submission is the client's and his family's ability to pay a bond, because there's quite a bit of litigation around the country that requires an immigration judge to consider the respondent's ability to pay a bond when setting bond. And so that may require, you know, maybe they don't have tax returns, maybe they do, maybe you present a budget or bills of what they have to, their monthly expenses, because there may be cases where, or maybe they're just my cases, that drag on for many, many months. And so a habeas is coming down the pike at some point. And again, it goes back to creating the record, you know, from the beginning.
I love working with Javier because he's always saying, maybe I'm the crazy one. Maybe it's my cases. Maybe I'm the one who's doing it. Maybe is it just me? No, Javier, it's not just
everybody.
You. We've all seen that too. Now, I will grant you, Javier tends to attract the crazier cases, but I think that's more built on reputation and willingness to take on those crazy cases.